you doing? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Either you are, or I'll be skipping rope with your entrails. Ta-ta.
This podcast is brought to you by our patrons at patreon.com/Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play. Welcome to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, the podcast where we explore the amazing universe of the Elder Scrolls. Adventurers, welcome back to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. This is your host, Tom, or Robots. I'm here with Lotus of Doom. And Lotus, we are opening up the Book of the Daedra today.
Indeed we are.
Are you excited? Are you scared?
I am. This should be interesting because there is a lot of these. A lot of them aren't really that important, quote unquote, but there's a lot of them, and some of them are very unique to a few more of the games that are lesser known.
That's true. There's a big old list of Daedric beings, and we're not talking about the princes. We've already talked about the princes. We talk about the princes all the time. Everybody loves Daedric princes. They even get complained about because they show up too often in Elder Scrolls Online, and people are like, why can't you do an expansion that doesn't have any Daedric princes in it? And so they try that, and then people are like, why does this expansion suck? So
yeah, why doesn't this have nearly enough Daedric princes in it? So the moral of the story is never try.
Yeah, never try. Or just put them in there anyway because they're fun. But we're talking about the creatures and peoples of the Daedra. There's lots of different kinds. So we're going to delve into this, and we're going to go alphabetically through the list of all the Daedra creatures that we know, starting with the letter A, because that's how alphabets work, at least in English. I can't say for all alphabets. I don't even think the Daedric alphabet starts with an A. It starts
it's
like a weird shape.
A.
Is it a squiggly A?
It's not technically an A, but I mean, it's A-ish.
It's A-ish. Yeah.
It's
okay.
A-ish. Well, maybe we'll do. We'll start at A-ish.
And we'll start with A-ish, and we'll do that in a future episode where we dig into the actual. I was thinking about that. Actually, I was considering this as one of the options for the episode today, was getting into the runes. And like,
oh, the runes?
Daedric runes and rune magic and stuff?
That could be fun.
Yeah, but that's not today. We're going to get there eventually.
It's not today.
We're starting with Daedric creatures, and we're going alphabetically, which means we have to start with Aurorans. Aurorans? What are Aurorans? What are Aurorans, Lotus? Do you know?
They're so it's kind of funny. We can get into exactly what they are, like, according to definition. But just to start, Aurorans, I feel, are underappreciated with how creepy they actually are.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they work for Meridia. And I feel like that's a theme with some of the Daedric princes who look a lot nicer than maybe they actually are, right?
Right. But yeah, Aurorans basically almost look like these knightly beings. They're decked out in armor. They're usually golden. They have like varying lights and stuff like that. But they look sort of like just a really impressive knight, more than like a freaky creature that you oftentimes would associate with Daedra.
Some of those creatures getting freaky.
Yeah, real freaky.
Yeah, real freaky. Well, here, let's go to the UAS. We should have a little button that I hit that says, to the UASP!
Yeah,
That would be awesome.
Your one-stop shop.
We've met a number of voice artists. I wonder if we could get one of them to do a, like, to the UESP.
It's true. Actually, we should get Dave, who for anybody who doesn't know, runs the UESP and started it.
Oh,
we should just get him to do it, just because it will be so...
Nobody would recognize the voice. They'd be like,
"What I mean,
who's the guy that says to the
super deep cut for only like a couple people to ever recognize?"
Right, right, right. Well, then that's Dave. He started. He's the guy that runs it. So, thanks, Dave.
He's a great guy.
All right. So here's what the UESP says, and then we're gonna expand on this a little bit. Aurorans are an idealized humanoid race of Daedra in the service of Meridia. Their armor usually appears golden in tone, but since they come from the colored rooms, Aurorans can be of any hue. This gets super weird. Here we go. These beings.
The cute thing, though, just before like we get too far from that, a lot okay. of times, like, it's almost like the glow they emit rather than the armor is different when you see that in game. It's the armor always has like that golden hue to it. It literally looks gold. But like sometimes you get that weird, just almost like there's a lamp inside the armor.
Right.
And that's. Right. At least in the games, always kind of what's portrayed, but the armor always is kind of the same.
Right. And there's a reason for that, because yes. these beings have magical control over color and hue and are mm-hmm. capable of manipulating certain spectra of a light into working on their behalf. So it's like I've got a bunch of colored lights in my room here. Like I can hit a button on my app and it changes the colors because it's fun because I'm on camera all the time. These guys, it's like they're walking around with like their own colored LEDs like on their bodies, and they're just like yellow or whatever color they want in the moment.
Right.
Yeah. So it goes on. It says warm colors are the easiest for them to manipulate. They are formidable foes that wield shock based magic and are resistant to both magic and lightning. They wield powerful axes infused with lightning and can and may combine in phalanx formations to channel light and deter trespassers. A phalanx is like, I believe it was from the Romans. It may go even further back in time to maybe the Greeks or somebody else. But a phalanx formation
a military style.
Is a military formation where everybody gets real tight together, real close, and then they can lift up their armor and like their shields, and then they got their spears. And so they become this this basic undefeatable killing mass of just like armor, shields, and
shield wall.
And spikes. Yes, it was very effective in ancient times. So, and then they also channel their light and deter trespassers doing this. The Dremora of Cold Harbor view them as exhibiting pretensions beyond their worth and are believed to lack a comprehensible hierarchy. So the Dremora, of course, are a different type of Daedra. They're a little bit more of kind of a race of Daedra that are more common. The Aurorans seem to be a very specialized group of humanoid Daedra that work for Meridia specifically.
Yeah, we'll encounter this semi-frequently throughout going through all of these, because some of the Daedric princes sort of crafted their own, I don't know, personal army type of thing, where they're very, very unique to that Daedric prince. Even if not always just to that Daedric prince, they'll be strongly associated with it, and it's a little different than just, you know, Daedra in general.
Right. I have up on screen, too, pictures of these Daedra, specifically these Aurorans. And we'll have pictures for each of these.
Just Umaroli and Feathered, too.
As we go over. Yeah. So and there's other creatures that are like connected to them. So if you are interested in seeing the pictures and our beautiful faces, then make sure you follow us on Elder Scrolls Lorecast on YouTube. We have our own channel. It's not the Robots Radio channel. It's its own Elder Scrolls Lorecast channel. So, yeah, go check that out. But there's some other cool details here, Lotus. Check this out. When an Auroran knight manifests on Tamriel, they can summon Daedric war horses from the colored rooms. These horses are composed of pure light, and like the Aurorans, they exist in various hues. These mounts occasionally persist in the mortal plane if their knight is banished. So, like, the knight can be banished, and then the horse is still there wandering around going, like,
just hanging out, which...
I'm a Daedric horse.
You know, maybe that's why you see so many of them in Elder Scrolls Online just running around at this point. Everybody's just been losing them. Everybody's knocking out the Aurorans in Depths of Malatar, and people are just like, hey, look at this Auroran charger. It's just blundering around in the field. I think I'll just borrow this.
You know what we need, Zoss, if you are listening to this? People have been petitioning for quest lines that get you like mounts and things, right? Like it's always fun to do a quest line that gets you some actual reward that you don't have to pay for, that you get, or is special to being able to do that reward. There needs to be a quest where you hunt down an Auroran knight and you kill him, but not his horse. And then you get the horse as a mount.
That would be very neat.
That would be really cool. That would do it. Do it, Zoss. Like they listen to me at all. please do it.
You should totally do that. And forget the fact that it's already technically in the crown store.
Yeah, I mean, you could do a different one that isn't in the crown store.
Like,
you
can
recolor it a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it.
Or make like a rainbow one.
Yeah, there we go.
Rainbow Warhorse. There's more text here. Let's keep moving. Aurorans choose their allegiances very carefully and usually only elect to fight beneath other servants of Meridia because they were created by her. In the presence of dark orbs, Aurorans are blessed by Meridia with uncanny vigor, being healed, resurrected, or even prevented from being banished to the void as long as they remain in close proximity to the orbs. Sounds a little OP. Orbs that emit light in certain hues can control Aurorans of the respective colors. Mortals who revere Meridia often honor her by adopting an armor style inspired by that of the Aurorans, crafted with the use of Auroran dust. So, orbs and keeping them from going to the void when they die? That seems pretty potent.
Yeah, actually, you can see an example of this if you play Elder Scrolls Online and do the Depths of Malatar dungeon. That's actually a couple of the boss fights relate around trying to basically shatter the orbs because the Aurorans just keep coming back as you break the orbs.
Right, like kill the orbs to stop the Aurorans from healing or not dying or whatever.
Basically, you can kill them and they just like they get resummoned basically right back into battle if you don't shatter the orb.
That's got to be a fresh hell for the Aurorans also, right?
That can't feel good.
Talk about Sisyphus, right? Like the boulder, you push the boulder up the hill, and then the boulder goes back down the hill, and they push the boulder. But instead, you go fight the heroes, and then they slaughter you mercilessly, and then you are just resummoned back to life to be slaughtered again immediately.
Yeah.
That's no good.
That can't be a good time.
That can't be a good time.
It really can't be a good time.
Right.
That's good. Because even though they regenerate, I assume you probably still feel it.
It still hurts. Like, nobody wants to get stabbed or hit with a fireball. Like, that's not fun.
Right.
Or maybe they're just really into battle. And so it's like, it doesn't matter how many hits they take as long as they get another chance to stop the heroes.
I mean, to an extent, sure. I feel like that might wear out after, like, you've been summoned 16 times in a row and just keep getting smoked.
Oh, Meridia, please.
All right, look.
Can I just take a lunch break?
I'm out. Just let me stay in oblivion for a while.
This is my 17th party in a row. Can I just have a break, please? Yeah. So that's Aurorans, and obviously you can fight against them in ESO. Let's move on. That's the only one that starts with A, at least according to the list that I have. If you know of, if we miss any, and you're like, what about these ones? It might be that like Auroran horse was included in this, so that's why it's not its own thing.
Sure.
But let us know.
Yeah, or if there's something tangential that you think belongs there, feel free to let us know, because there's a lot of these to cover.
Right.
So something could get lost in the shuffle while we're going through this. And obviously the list can change over time as we've gotten more things added to the series over time. So if you notice anything like that we might have glossed over, feel free to let us know and we'll look up specifically what it is.
Share it on the Discord.
Just slip the mind. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Post it on Discord and be like, I found something you guys missed, and then you can take the credit for that, inform us, and then get a conversation going on around it. So that's always fun. We'll take the heat. We can bear it, just like Aurorans being resurrected on a battlefield. All right, let's move on to our next one. Let's go to the bees. How do you feel about Banekin, Lotus? Is that Boots barking?
Boots is very upset about Banekin.
Oh, well, they are kind of little. I would imagine that they're on the same level as Boots.
Boots is very upset about Banking because they're both very low to the ground. Yes. So while I quiet her down, why don't you cover Banking and I get her under control for a second?
All right. So Banking, I'm sure you've seen these at least in ESO. They're in across the game in lots of different places. I'm going to put some pictures up here. They're these cute little guys, and I mean, I guess cute is subjective, but Banekin are a small lesser Daedra resembling a winged humanoid with mottled gray skin. They don't always have gray skin, but generally they do. A tail full of rigid spikes, pointed ears, and horns on their heads. Banekin are associated with Molag Bal and use powerful shock spells in combat. They can speak Tamrielic and are sometimes used as familiars by powerful wizards. Though they are unreliable due to their forgetfulness as well as their inclination for cruelty and destruction. Banekin are agile Daedra. Aside from being able to use their claws and tails full of rigid spines, they can use spells to weaken their foes as well as make them nauseous. They are not well treated by larger Daedra, such as Dromora, who torture loose Banekin, and Daedroths, who are known to eat them alive. So they're kind of like at the bottom of the totem pole of, I don't know, self-aware, kind of humanish, or at least humanoid. Yeah,
like one step above like a Daedric pet.
Yeah, it's like they're like the little guys that the other Daedra just pick on all the time, right?
Yeah.
I remember, I believe it was Oblivion that had the mage that had the Banekin as a servant. I believe that was in Oblivion. Wasn't there a quest line?
Or
somebody in the Mages Guild. Doesn't that sound familiar?
That does sound familiar. The other thing, which we'll get into much, much later, but just is kind of like a nod in that direction. They also resemble very much... very similar structure to a scamp.
Yeah, like they're kind of scampy. Like
we'll get to scamps much later on, but
I'm standing right now because I have my treadmill underneath me. I like to walk and play games and things sometimes for exercise, but I'm doing the show while standing. And this is another reason why you should check out our videos, because I did a little scamp walking in movement. They kind of do that, right? Like where they kind of like how monkeys or apes don't stand fully with their legs straight like we do, like humans. So we stand on our bones in order to not have to use our muscles all the time to hold our bodies up, but like monkeys and apes can't do that. I feel like these guys can't do that either, so they've always got that like bent knee kind of posture.
Yeah, the little bent knee saunter.
Yeah a little saunter. There you go but there's a few different ones that look different. I put them up on the screen. We've got just kind of the regular gray skinned Banekin, wicker fright Banekin. This guy looks like a little tree dude. He's pretty cool looking. Grizzly Banekin mummy.
Looks like a little Groot.
Yeah, there's one that looks like a mummy. Yeah, a little Groot. A Frostkin. This is like a
mummy. One is freaky because it also looks like it's wearing the Daedric face of God mask.
Yeah, it's got the
wind cut for anybody.
Yeah, it's got like the red mask with like the, I don't know, there's lots of bumps like wrinkles on the eyes and
very freaky.
The teeth and then the spikes and and then there's the frost guy, and then this guy who is a this is Master Vrenik, the Banekin sage. That's there's something about being able to play as a Daedra. Can we just even just have like a mobile game where we get to just be Daedra and do like
just be a Daedra
evil
instead?
Evil things, and you just pick the type of Daedra you are.
Did you ever play? Oh man, this is a weird tangent, but it'll if you've played it, it might resonate a little bit. It feels like something you could do with that. Do you remember that game Dungeon Keeper? Way back in the day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I feel like you could be a Daedric prince and just be like doing that. Like,
that's what we need. We need like Elder Scrolls Dungeon Keeper.
Yeah.
Where you're
and
like,
it's just you're a prince and you got your all your little Daedric minions.
Oh man. Thing. And then you come up with reasons to like lure the heroes into your lair and then like kill them.
Yeah, exactly.
Zoss, we got another plan. Maybe that's the other game that Zoss has been working on secretly.
Yeah, this is secretly what's actually... this is Elder Scrolls 6, to the disappointment of everyone.
Oh, God. Okay, no, don't do that then. Again, this could be just like a little mobile game. A little mobile game where you've got like... You got a little dungeon and you know, I'm going to summon a bunch of Banekin. They're going to guard the doors or whatever. So, not a whole lot of other info on this other than kind of see them everywhere.
They're kind of just there. I mean, they're very non-threatening in the grand scheme of horrific things that exist in this world.
Right.
They're pretty low on the totem.
Yeah. There are certain kinds of Banekin that... Banekin?
Yep.
Banekin. There's certain kinds of Daedra, like the Banekin. There we go. That just show up everywhere. They're kind of universal to Realms of Oblivion and Daedric Lords and all of that, right? So they're not as specific as Aurorans being with Meridia. Any other thoughts on this one?
Not really. They've been around for a while. They're very just kind of they're your base, you know, kind of grunt type enemy thing for when you're kind of starting out. Beyond that, they're really sort of just fodder most of the time in big dramatic fights. Banekin tend to just be more of a distraction than an actual threat most of the time.
Right. Yeah, that's true. But I mean, they're kind of cute in their like little evil sort of way.
Yeah, they're doing their best.
They're trying real hard.
They're doing their best.
All right. Speaking of doing our best, we're going to go thank our patrons and do our best job saying thank you to them. So don't go anywhere. And we're going to two more Daedric monsters or creatures or whatever to cover. So we'll be right back.
It's that time. Holiday shopping is here. And I've got something to help you out.
Uncommon Goods takes the stress out of gifting with thousands of unique, high-quality finds you won't see anywhere else. And that's legit. How many different stores can you find exactly the same products and you just are shopping for whoever has the best deal? No, this is a place that has high-quality, unique, often handmade or made in the US products by independent artists and small businesses that truly create one-of-a-kind gifts for all sorts of different seasons, and it's the holiday season. Well, get this. I found one that I thought was super cool. Now, my wife loves puzzles. She loves mysteries. She loves escape rooms. They have murder mystery jigsaw puzzles where you use the puzzle to solve the mystery. There's a few of these, and I think I might pick up the clairvoyant convention one. I think she'll love it. And that's just one example. They've got gifts for moms and teens, book lovers, history buffs, diehard football fans, foodies, mixologists, gardeners. There's something here for everybody on your gift list. And they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice with every purchase. They've donated more than $3.1 million to date. So don't wait. Cross those names off your list before the rush. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/scrollslore. That's uncommongoods.com/scrollslore for 15% off. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
This is Hamish Morak, Dragonborn, and you are educating yourself to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast.
All right, here we are in the middle of the show. This is where we get to thank our patrons, and we've got a number of new patrons to thank. Here, let's go through the list. Juan, Sampo P, Trey M, Alana, and Jasper C, and Amanda K. Wow, welcome to the Patreon. Everybody signed, all those people signed up in the last week. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your support. We really do appreciate it. And if you are listening and going, man, I really like this show, I wish I could get something and be a fan and help them out at the same time, you go to patreon.com/Elder Scrolls Lorecast. There's a bunch of stuff over there, ad-free episodes, t-shirts, stickers, all sorts of things. So go check that out. And thank you so much for our new members signing up and helping to support the show. They get shout outs every time there's a new person who signs up. They get a shout. If you were to like sign up and then cancel and then sign up and then cancel, you'd get shout outs all the time. That just occurred to me. Somebody's probably going to game the system one of these days. Anyway, the other people who get shout outs, yeah, fine with that, I guess.
You're doing all this to support us. You know, you're gaming the system. I'm not too broken up about it. I am all in favor of creative exploits.
Right, right. The other people that get shout outs all the time are our Daedric Princes, our tier 5 members, Jacob K, Kira C, and Noodle El Dente. Thank you for your support as well.
What do you think of each of them would take as a Daedric minion?
I don't know. This has come up a few times. I feel like I feel like Noodle answered that question once.
Well, I'm pretty sure Noodle did mention which Daedric Prince they'd be.
Yeah.
But I was thinking, what minions they would have. Which minion do you think they would each choose?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Think Bankin's high on that list?
No.
No.
No. The Aurorans are way cooler than the Bankin. I mean, they're cute. But also, if you'd like to help us out, you can leave a 5-star rating and a review on Apple Podcasts. We'll read out your words on a future episode, or you can rate us on Spotify or whatever other platform you're listening to us on, or join us on the YouTube channel and you can comment on our videos on there and we'll see that stuff as well. So lots of different ways to help us out. And we really do appreciate it because we couldn't do this without all of you. So thank you so much. All right, let's move on with the rest of the show.
You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, dear child of Sithis. That is why the Night Mother loves you.
All right, we're back. Lotus, I was going through the list. We're in the bees. We did Bankin. And the next one that comes up is Bookworm. And when I first read that, I thought, oh, yes, this is one of those book things in Apocrypha. And I was wrong. That's not what this is.
It's actually not. It's
not at all. Like, I was totally off.
Those new creatures are actually not.
They're not called bookworms, although that would be a great name for them. That is not what they're called.
That name is also very fitting to them. But no, it's not actually these.
Yeah, so I've got a picture on the screen. You're going to recognize this if you play ESO enough. They're kind of these like floating elongated worm type creatures with like multi-segmented with a big head and kind of the tail gets smaller and they kind of wiggle around in the air, right?
The easiest reference point to this is in Skyrim, because that's the most played Elder Scrolls game, there are the ice wraiths.
Yes.
Picture an ice wraith, except you made it out of the ink that is in Hermaeus Mora's Realm of Apocrypha.
Right. Yeah.
There's your bookworm.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like Outlander Frog says in chat, like a skeleton fish.
Yes. A skeleton
floats
fish.
In the air. Yeah. Yes. So bookworms are Daedric worms. Worms with a W-Y-R-M-S, not worms like the ones that go in the ground. From Apocrypha that serve Hermaeus Mora. Some claim that they devour books to keep knowledge safe for their master, while others say Hermaeus Mora's cultists use them to hunt for lost tomes. They might do both. They might hunt for the lost tomes because they want to eat them, and then they keep them from eating them because they want to keep the knowledge for themselves. So...
delicious, delicious knowledge.
Don't you guys love eating knowledge? That's why so many of these people listen to our lore cast is because we keep feeding them knowledge.
Right. And it's apparently delicious.
Did we just come up with a nickname for our listeners? Are they all bookworms?
Oh.
Because they keep eating the knowledge.
How would everybody feel about it? I don't know. I mean, these things are pretty cool. So I guess I wouldn't be personally insulted if somebody was like, yo, you're a bookworm. And I was like, all right. Lorecast bookworms.
All right. I mean, it does have to do with Hermaeus Mora. So that is.
Oh, I guess that's even more on brand for me in the grand scheme of things. Touche.
Rob asks, what flavor is our podcast? It's the flavor of knowledge, Rob. Duh.
Yeah.
So
which,
there's really
which a, is also cherry
which is oh it's also cherry flavored okay cool there's really not a whole lot else to say about these. They show up obviously they're part of Hermaeus Mora and Apocrypha, so they're a much more I don't know they're not necessarily a newer edition, but they're kind of more interesting and topical with Necron coming out recently.
Just kind of that these just kind of happen to coincide with Elder Scrolls Online's most recent chapter expansion. But yeah, they've been around for a bit, at least reference wise, as something floating around in Apocrypha. So.
Right. All right. Let's move on to our last one for this episode. This guy. Well, how do you feel about dinosaurs, Lotus?
I mean, I guess I'm fine with dinosaurs, and just, I guess if fine. You take a bunch of dinosaurs and squish them all together to get like a weird pseudo dinosaur, it would be you could use the best parts of all the dinosaurs, right?
Yeah. So I want you to imagine a kind of reptilian creature that's kind of size of like a raptor from, Jurassic Park movie. But like the head is more like a triceratops with the big old plate on it, and it's got a little beak face, right? But then the arms and legs are more skinny, and the fingers especially are really long and kind of spindly and got real long nails on them. So they're like they're thinner than say like a raptor, but they've still got that really big head with the plate.
Yeah,
that's a Clanfear.
And right.
Those I mean these show up all over the place. They're all over ESO.
And they do. They've been around for quite a while in the series, too. This is one of the more established, long-standing Daedric enemies.
Yep.
And just because this one's a little more involved than some of the other ones, although, again, still kind of like low, I guess you'd say, on like the hierarchy scale.
Yeah, they're more like they animals than they are like really? People. Like the Banekin can talk, right? And obviously the Dromora or the Aurorans are like more like actual people. And some of them are actually very smart and powerful, right? The Banekin are more like just animals.
So here's the thing that's going to be kind of interesting about this, because this doesn't. I was trying to browse through. So there's not a... Okay, well, whatever. I'll just go off the knowledge I got handy.
sure.
So, interestingly enough, they have become more dinosaurish, like just creature that lives in Oblivion or comes from Oblivion in the most recent games. And they all have their own interpretations. Like, each game, they look a little different. But like you said, they're not really chatting it up too much.
Yeah. So here, on that note, check this out.
Yes.
This is a clan fear from Battlespire.
And that's what I was hoping we would have a clip
of.
So
look, he's like standing straight up. He's still got like the bent legs, like the turkey feet.
Yes.
But
so they're much more humanoid.
Much more upright with like dinosaur head and then like long fingernails, right?
Yes. They have weird snappy tendril fingers, which is freaky looking.
But then we get to like Oblivion, and now we're in the realm of dinosaur. Like this thing looks like a little dinosaur.
Yeah, they become more dinosaurish.
Yeah, and then ESO, very dinosaur-y.
They're very dinosaur-y. Which
just
is
making
official,
up new words.
The official word, dinosaur-y. However, back to the idea of Battlespire. They speak in Battlespire.
Oh, so they got dumber too.
Yes. So that's something that I really wanted to point out, which is why I was kind of glad you started with the Battlespire one, because that's pretty much for the most part, as far back as the situation goes with these things throughout the series. Mm-hmm. However, in Battlespire, you could attempt to kind of communicate with everything. That was actually one of the skill things, and some were
so
much
like
harder
D&D,
than others.
Like if you're a druid in D&D, you might have the ability to talk to animals, right?
Right.
It's kind of like that, because that's what they're pulling from.
Absolutely a thing that Battlespire tried to tackle.
Yeah.
For better or worse. But when you actually encounter clan fears in Battlespire, they are really over the top with the hissing and the blah, blah, blah stuff. Like, and, but they actually communicate with you. They actually, one of them, I'm pretty sure, gives you directions on how to get into a fort. Like they are just,
that's great.
They are another creature. And I remember, because I obviously haven't played these in order, going back to Battlespire, that was super weird because they've never spoken in any of the games that I played. And all of a sudden it was like, oh, okay, they used to talk and they're really creepy. Like, so yeah, not only have they become more dinosaur shaped,
Dinosaur-y, let me correct you.
Dinosaur-y, yes, dinosaur-y. Sorry, that's our official, yes. That's they've become more dinosaur-y. They apparently lost their dinosaurus and can't speak.
Wait, anymore. Did you say dinosaurus?
Yes.
Good one. I'll let that one go.
I love how that was a very begrudging.
I need to consider that, but I think that's better than just a pun. Because I think it's like a double pun. I will allow that.
Yeah. So if you didn't just throw your phone out the window while driving after that, whatever that joke was.
Usually I'm the one that makes bad jokes. That was a good one. That was good.
Yeah. So no, they definitely quietly good. Yeah. So they definitely have simplified that creature, which is fine. But I don't know. They've
expanded on them a little bit too, because for example, like this is a dread clan fear from Legends.
Yes, there's more options,
and it looks bigger. Like this is a bigger dinosaur.
Yeah, that one's huge. Yeah. The dread one.
And so like they've got varieties now that go through the game. So there's blue ones,
couple,
and different color ones, green ones,
a couple biggins,
ones from the Dreadlands that are like more fiery looking. Like there's a variety.
Yeah, some are definitely just more green. The ones in Cold Harbor, or the ones you summon in Elder Scrolls Online, apparently you're summoning them from Cold Harbor because they're super blue tinged, stuff like that. So yeah, they definitely have different versions, but it is interesting that they've kind of, I don't know, guess dumbed down their communication skills.
Right.
They become more animal-like and less just weird, I think.
Right. So let's get to the official, or at least the semi-official description from the UESP. To the UESP! Here we go. Clan fear are ferocious reptilian daedra that resemble a lizard with a large bony crest on their head, as well as a sharp beak and talons. They have tough scales on their body, and their mouths are lined with razor-sharp teeth for tearing flesh. They are generally thought to be of animal intelligence, though it is possible that they are intelligent enough to speak, like in Battlespire.
Just in Battlespire.
Clan fear are of low status and are sometimes branded to reveal their loyalty. Clan fear cannot use tools, so they attack their foes through biting, clawing, and gnashing of teeth. No, that's not what that says. With their tail spikes. They can be formidable, but they are by no means clever. They are known to serve many Daedric princes and can be found throughout the various planes of Oblivion. In fact, every Daedric prince is said to possess legions of clan fear among other common lesser Daedra. Despite this, some attribute them to Mehrunes Dagon. Sometimes there's like an originator of a Daedric type, and then all the other Daedric princes are like, I want some of those too. At least that seems to be what might happen behind the scenes. Like, some Daedric creates a thing, and then the rest of them go, oh, that's useful. So
right. And so it's kind of funny, actually. One thing kind of bouncing off this as we, you know, that part just mentioned, they're evolving in intelligence level, right. I guess.
Well, the question like here, like Chad SJC says, I'm confused in the games because if ESO is before the other games, wouldn't they have evolved since ESO? Like, how does that work?
Yes, because Battlespire takes place substantially later than Elder Scrolls Online. And my only, you know, this is all head Kennedy goodness type of thing, but, you know, stuff changes as the series is written by many different people, and especially because the one they speak in is actually essentially a spin-off game. It's not a numbered entry. So my assumption would be something along the lines of like Battlespire itself is a really weird experience that has a lot of unique stuff in I actually Pocket Dimension's kind of a good way to put it. But the Battlespire is in like this in-between space where they train these Imperial Battle Mages. And I think that's supposed to contribute to some of the weirdnesses that you get, because you're in the Battlespire itself, you're kind of ping-ponging all over the place between, well, again, lore inconsistencies and weirdness aside, where, like, you're going to Mehrunes Dagon's hunting lodge, which is weird because that's not... Later on,
it's not really
whatever.
A thing, but also it sounds terrifying. Like, why would you go there on purpose?
It's not her scene, it's Dagon's hunting, whatever.
Right. We talked about how her scene was kind of a later addition, and then that
Yeah, they diverged into almost like two different things. But I would say that maybe because of some of the weird situations around that game, you could say that, like, oh, well, this version of them, they ended up, you know, you ended up being able to communicate with them easier.
Right.
Maybe it just had to do with that you're, hey, the number two battle mage, because, you know, you're not number one in that game. You're actually the second best battle mage. not the first, but maybe the top two are really adept at understanding.
Maybe it's not that they are different in that they can talk. It's that
maybe it's just
they
that
have their own language, but only in this game were you ever able to understand it.
Right.
Maybe something like that. I'm sure that we could come up with all sorts of other explanations that kind of just, you know, make it work in lore, in, you know, non-meta context. But but it was a game that was designed earlier, and then they backed off from that concept. That's really the truth of it.
Right. There was a lot more things that were humanoidish. There was a lot more stuff that was hyper cringe in that game as well. So.
Yeah. Overtly sexual things that abandoned. Didn't need to be, because the 90s. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Battlespire is very much the 90s in a lot of aspects.
Right. Right. So to me, Clan Fear are kind of like the pack mules of the Oblivion like realms. Like they seem like almost like a work animal that was also used to attack things. Like, if they're not in battle, what else are they doing? Well, they're probably hauling stuff on their backs or pulling carts or something, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of the feeling I get from them.
Yeah, they definitely, they're the Gwar of Oblivion.
The Gwar of Oblivion. Ah, delicious. The Gwar of Oblivion. My favorite delicacy. Are you eating clan fear?
They're right to eating.
Can you imagine? I can imagine a high elf, like some high elf mage being like, ah, yes, the Gwar of Oblivion. Delicious. So anyway, there's more info here. They can occasionally be found lingering near Daedric ruins on Nirn. Yep. That does happen. It's like you go to these places and it's like, yeah, some just pulled a bunch of Daedra from somewhere and they're just like hopping around.
There's always like clan fears mucking about in like rubble and like, destroyed right. ruins. It's just like, well, this is clan fear just poking around, little scavengers.
Right. This is a clan fear and some banekins or whatever, just kind of doing right. their thing. And it's like, what are they even doing? Why don't we ever see banekin riding on clan fear? Zoss, get on it. That sounds awesome.
Interesting.
Can you imagine like a little banekin like riding on the back of a clan fair and the clan fair is like trying to eat you while it's like casting lightning bolts at you
or
something?
Well, it's the it's throwing stuff at you.
Yeah, it's got a little spear maybe, like
sure, like those little creatures oh my god, in the Solstheim expansion of Dragonborn, when you were out on the cliffs and the Reeklings, that's the word I'm looking for. Okay. Reeklings. I could see that being similar. Just riding around on little hounds. You just got Clanfear riding around on little. You've got Banekin running right. riding around on little Clanfear.
Yeah, they use the little head fin as like a shield. They're like holding on to it and they're like poking a spear around the side.
Exactly. I was going to say, you got some good ramming power.
Yeah.
If it gets too snowy, you use them as a plow.
Okay. Yeah. If I was a little Banekin, I would definitely be riding on a Clanfear. Unless there's some other reason. Like maybe they like to eat Banekin and so they kind of keep their distance. I don't know. There's more info.
Everybody's trying to eat each other.
Maybe I'm just hungry. I don't know. Clanfear walk on two legs and use their clawed arms and sharp beaks as weapons. They are capable of ripping mortals to shreds. Clanfear claws are made for hooking their prey and pinning them while they are consumed alive. The Clanfear can make use of its crest to headbutt or charge at its prey. Clanfear pounce on their prey to knock it down. They can also slam their spiked tail into their prey to disorient it. Clanfear are inclined to flock together to hunt and may answer to a powerful matriarch, but are still dangerous as individuals. They vocalize by baying and screeching, I guess when you can't actually understand what they're saying, that's what that sounds like.
Just shrieking at you.
They can be trained by more intelligent Daedra, such as the Dromora. Man, I stuttered through that. Training Clanfear can assist Dromora in hunting mortals for sport and have a keen sense of smell that assists them in such tasks. So they're kind of like the bloodhounds of the Daedric world. Young Clanfear purportedly need food to grow, which they often receive in the form of mortal flesh. Their claws and hearts can be used in alchemy. So there's eating. There's a lot of eating going on.
There is a lot of eating. Apparently you weren't far off base.
It's just the other way around. They're the ones that eat us.
Well, it's kind of interesting though, based on that, we were kind of like, well, you know, they're always poking around these like Daedric ruins. Well, maybe that's why. If they're kind of like a pseudo bloodhound thing, if you're looking for anything of use, it seems like actually that makes sense that they would be the ones scavenging around then, because you know, they're attuned to magicka or whatever and looking for some good stuff.
Maybe they're just like reptile dogs. Maybe they're just like the doggies, like the big dogs of the Daedra.
All right, that's just seems fine. Seems on
brand. Think they have names like Fido and Spike? Definitely Spike
seems on. Yeah, Clifford.
Also Clifford, the one that got so big because Emily Elizabeth loved the Daedra. Emily Elizabeth the Daedra.
That's the
loved
dread,
it so much.
Yeah, that's the dread Clanfear. His name is Clifford.
That's Clifford the Dread Clanfear. And he's red.
Yes, he's from the Deadlands.
Yeah, there you go.
This is terrible.
We have come up with so many brilliant ideas on this episode.
Yeah, no, they're just gems. There's so many of them, Zoss is throwing them right in the trash.
So, all right. So that's our first four of our Daedric creatures. There's a bunch. If we go forward a time, this is going to take a long time. So maybe we'll do a few episodes of these. Maybe we'll break it up and do some other stuff and then come back and do these and kind of sprinkle them in. We'll see. Maybe people love this and we'll just keep going through the Daedric creature list.
I was going to say there's some are definitely weirder than others. And as in this situation, we had a lot more to talk about with Aurorans and Clanfear than Banekin was like middle of the road and Bookworms is very little on.
Right.
So like maybe we can try to
it just depends.
Forward.
It depends on which things we get in which show, you know, like we'll figure it out.
Yeah. So the other thing too is we originally said maybe in alphabetical order, which I guess would be easy for use, but it might be helpful. I can take a look through the list. Maybe it would be good to put like a couple major ones and then like three minor ones or whatever to You know what I mean? I'll take a look at it. I'm cool with letting.
I kind of like the randomness of things sometimes.
Obviously, if we do
four with no information, that would not be enough for a full episode. So we'd have to do like five or six, right? So, but
we'll adjust it each time. Keep this around, you know, the 50 minutes to an hour mark. Yeah. Either way,
right. We'll figure it out. So
just squish as many or as few in as need be.
don't worry. Yeah, we'll get through it. But thank you for joining us, everybody. Thanks for being here, especially those of you who decided to join us live. We really like having all the conversation and stuff. So Lotus, you got anything else going on you want to share before we head out?
No, we had a very, very spirited discussion on the last Tales over some interesting stuff going on in the community on people and the loot boxes or crown crates or whatever. And for anybody who you know, I'm not going to go into it. It was a very long episode, but we had some great points from everybody, some different perspectives and stuff like that. And yeah, at the moment, it seems like there is something very wrong with that whole department, and we're only getting little bits of it. So
like something internally is just not working right. Or
yeah, you can't apparently you can't gift them anymore. You haven't been able to gift them on PC for quite a while, there's errors, there's something going on. And now
I wonder if they're making adjustments behind the scenes and that's just kind of messed a few things up. And
well, so originally it was just PC. As of today, now console can't trade them either.
Yeah,
so it's actually like becoming more restrictive. I don't know. I've never actually bought one.
Well, they did go through the whole like updating the behind the scenes stuff. I'm wondering if this is one of the pieces that
maybe,
you know, sometimes database
stuff can affect things. I heard there was a duping glitch. If that's true, I don't know, but I did hear there was a way to like duplicate it. But
weird. Well, go listen to that episode if you want more info.
Yeah, I was going to say it's some good perspectives on very different takes on the state of ESO and some of the stuff with it. Which, you know, definitely appreciated. But yeah, that's pretty much it. I've just been trying to get any time I can to play either Diablo 4 or Necrom, as I don't have enough time in my days.
Yep, I feel that. Everybody in chat's talking about, like, what four Danekin would you choose? Like, which ones would be the best friends together? Or which ones would you... Like, maybe we should do that on our Patreon episode at the end of the month. Is like, what... Pick four... You're a Daedric lord. Which four Daedric creatures would you use, or which ones do you think would be best friends together, or something like that? That could be fun.
Which ones would be best friends? Like,
which would form your super party of Daedric adventurers? You need four. Anyway, that we'll figure it out as we go. But yeah, go check out Lotus show. You can check out my shows, robotsradio.net.
Oh, I figured because it ties into both these shows, I should probably mention it. Because not everybody has Twitter, and plus a lot of people are leaving Twitter. Both of these shows, I was talking to you recently about it. We missed both the milestones for both the Elder Scrolls Lorecast and Tales of Tamriel going over 1 million audio downloads.
Yeah, right.
quite a while ago, actually.
We're already
like the start of the
million
year.
200,000 or something at this point. Yeah.
We should have started the year with that, but we got distracted with all the Necrom stuff.
Right.
So both shows actually passed that milestone, which is wild to think about. I'm so sorry so many of you have listened to my voice for that many hours, but as sort of an appreciation thing, I'm doing a giveaway where we've got a $100 gift card to the Bethesda Gear Store. You can spend it on whatever you want. Doesn't even need to be Elder Scrolls stuff. To enter, you can either just say what your favorite Elder Scrolls game is on the post on Twitter, or send it in to talesoftamriel@gmail.com. Like that.
There you go.
You can email them. You don't need Twitter. I want to make it so anybody can do it.
Yeah.
So I figured I would just shout it out on the podcast as a thank you. Feel free to enter. Just shout us out what your favorite Elder Scrolls game is, and that's all you got to do for your entry.
That's great. Yeah. So go do that. Do the email or do it on Twitter. Also, speaking of Twitter, Threads launched like today. It's Instagram's Twitter, which means it's actually Facebook, which is actually Meta. So
Meta with that many names.
But lots of people are moving over. Twitter's a mess. So I started a Robots Radio account over there. So it's @robots_radio. I haven't created accounts for all the different shows yet, because that's a mess of stuff, because I do a lot of shows. So we'll see how this plays out. But I would love to have you follow my channel over there, and then I'll follow you back, and we'll start things going up on Threads and see how that works, because Twitter's a mess. So
Twitter is a mess.
Go check that out.
I have it in me for another yeah, media platform. I liked Hive, but it never went anywhere.
Yeah, I guess we'll have to see. As with any of these things, we'll see how popular it actually becomes.
Exactly.
So there you go. That's what we got for this week. And thank you everybody for being here. And until next time, stay safe out there. Tamriel's a crazy place with lots of danger creatures. So we'll see you next time. See you later, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We'd love to hear from you. You can reach me on Twitter at robots_radio or Lotus of Doom at Lotus of Doom. Also, you can join us on the Robots Radio Discord channel. You can easily just search Robots Radio Discord on Google or check the description underneath the podcast. Also, this podcast is recorded live every week on Thursday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on the Robots Radio channels on Twitch, YouTube, and on Facebook. So just search Robots Radio on any of those platforms. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you while we record the show, or before or after. Either way, just come hang out with us. And if you're looking for more information about my shows and the shows on the Robots Radio Network, go to robotsradio.net for all the information about all the shows on the network, including the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where I help both new and existing podcasters to grow their shows, build their audiences, and create the best podcast they possibly can. All of that at robotsradio.net. We'll see you next time.